One of the most famous lines in all of Christian writing is this prayer of St. Augustine. Oh God, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Jesus said, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. Jesus, Augustine, they're saying the same thing. There is a hunger in the soul that can only be satiated by God. Just as the stomach is satisfied by food, thirst by water, loneliness by friendship, so too with the soul. The French philosopher, mathematician, scientist, and just about an overall genius in every field you can imagine, Blaise Pascal, who lived in the 17th century, understood the place of the soul's desire for God when he wrote, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim? But there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are, though none can help. If you don't remember that part, that's fine. Remember what I'm going to say now. Listen to Pascal. This infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself. The infinite abyss of spiritual longing, says Pascal, can only be filled by God. Jesus understands this, and thousands of years before Pascal was born, he said at that Capernaum synagogue, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. This is a wonderful feast day. This is the feast day of Corpus Christi, when we celebrate the amazing grace of Jesus' gift of his body and blood offered to us so that the infinite abyss can be filled with the infinite and immutable object, the very body and blood of Jesus, his very presence. So today I want to think with you for a few minutes about what we are doing when we come to Mass. We are, like Augustine, bringing our restless hearts to the one whose very life can still them. We are, like Pascal, looking everywhere for that true happiness and life's meaning and purpose. We are, like Peter, who in words that follow our passage that we heard this evening says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We too are discovering that we cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And yet here's the thing. Given this reality, why is it that we can approach Mass with a kind of indifference, with a distractibility, and even an apathy? This is due in part to the following experience, I think. While we know instinctively that hunger is satisfied by food, although we know instinctively that thirst is satisfied by water, we do not know instinctively that the longing of the soul can only be satisfied by Jesus. We might come to Mass regularly, but we continue to look for the soul's satisfaction, in Pascal's words, by seeking in things that are not there the help we cannot find in those that are. In other words, we continue to look for the soul's satisfaction in all of those worldly pursuits and pleasures, and even though they're good in themselves, they cannot ultimately content us if we make them our primary good. Or to take it a step further, we covet what is presented to us through advertising. We get caught up in the enchantment of the celebrity world and we wonder, what would it be like to live their life? Everywhere, at the checkout line, at the supermarket, everywhere, online, we are presented this fantasy world. We are presented this world that beckons us to seek things that are not. That is, we are invited, we are enticed to long for a world that can never be ours. How restless the heart until we take to heart Jesus' words in today's gospel. Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Later, the Lord will put it this way. The one who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus is the God-man. And it is Jesus Christ who tells us he alone can satisfy the soul's insatiable hunger. So much does Jesus want us to understand this, that repeatedly in today's passage from the gospel, he uses the verb eat. I actually counted them as I was listening to the gospel being read. He uses the word eat 6 times in 8 verses. And here's the interesting thing. The first time Jesus uses the word eat, it's when he says, unless we eat of his flesh. He uses the expected word in Greek for eat. You don't need to remember this word. I'm just going to say it to you to show off. It's the word phagein. And this is the word that we would usually use when we are eating. But the next 5 times Jesus uses the word eat, he does not use the word phagein. He uses the word trogain. And this is the kind of eating an animal does when it gnaws, when it munches. In each of the 4 subsequent times Jesus uses the word eat in today's gospel, it is this word trogain, to munch, to feed, to gnaw. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? We are to approach the Eucharist with the kind of enthusiasm with which a dog would approach a bone with meat on it. Would that dog be apathetic? Would that dog be indifferent? I do not think so. Or what about a lion that after it has felled its prey, trogeens, munches, gnaws on its prey? Jesus is explicit, making it clear that this food, his body and blood, is what satisfies our soul. Instead, he puts it very clearly, if we do not eat him, we do not have life in us. So let me conclude by asking a question and answering it. Why is it that this food, that is the food that alone can satisfy the soul? It's because the body and blood of Jesus Christ are the spiritual food for the journey, and we are to share in the life of Jesus through this earthly pilgrimage. This meal is our spiritual food for the journey. We know this because back in Deuteronomy, the first reading we had tonight, it speaks explicitly about the manna that was given from heaven. This was heaven-sent food that was to sustain the Israelites through their desert wanderings. Once they entered the promised land, no more need for the manna. But during those 40 years of desert wandering, they needed this food. Moses speaks about how the Lord tested the hearts of his people to see if they would humble themselves to keep his commandments. We are to approach this even greater manna on the feast of Corpus Christi with an even greater humility. Remember what it said in Deuteronomy, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Now here's the thing about God's words. God's words create. Genesis 1 is all about God speaking and creating. They're not just descriptive, they are creative words. Repeatedly in the life of Jesus, Jesus speaks and something happens. Lazarus, come out. Little girl, arise. Your sins are forgiven. Creative words that bring into being what was not there before. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And what are the words of Jesus that proceed from his mouth more often than any other? This is my body. This is my blood. Said over 400,000 times a day on masses around the world, said even more often on weekends, there are no words of Jesus that are spoken more often than these words. And the thing about these words is they are creative words. As the priest allows Jesus to take his mouth, and as he says, this is my body, this is my blood, the gifts are transubstantiated. They become, literally, the body and blood of Christ. And such food is the food we need on this journey because of something else Deuteronomy says. Speaking of God, Moses said, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you and in the end to do you good. We live in a world that is fraught with dangers, and we have an enemy who wants to destroy our souls. This is why in the wilderness of the world, we need the spiritual sustenance that comes from Corpus Christi. Those who keep close to Jesus in the Eucharist will have a deepening trust in Jesus. They will have a deepening humility of soul, and they will discover evermore the goodness of the Lord. And so today I'm issuing you a challenge. I call you to deepen your dependence upon Jesus through your full, active and conscious participation in the Mass. Your soul and my soul needs it. We have it on the highest authority, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in John chapter 6. But not only is Corpus Christi food for the journey to satisfy the soul, it is, in the words of St. Paul from today's epistle, the way in which we participate in the life of Jesus now. It's good to know that in heaven, the soul's hunger will be fully satisfied because we will be sharing fully in the life of Christ. This feast is a foretaste for us of what we will know fully when by grace and purgation we will enter into the beatific vision. Back in the 17th century, there was an English poet, and he happened to be an Anglican, but he was a pretty good Anglican, by the name of George Herbert, who wrote an amazing poem that is all about participation in Christ. And with this poem, I end today's homily. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful? Ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took me by my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit, and